Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In Jeremiah chapter 44, the Jews proclaim they are not going to listen to anything Jeremiah has to say. Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 16, "As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee." Now, in the next three verses, they're going to tell you something about the Queen of Heaven. And that's what we're going to study today. Verse 17, "But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals and were well and saw no evil. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things, and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven, and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her, and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men?" Now, what they're contending is that as long as they were worshiping the Queen of Heaven, everything was going well. And that when they quit worshiping the Queen of Heaven, things went south and they started having trouble with the sword and with the famine. But that's not true. The truth of the matter is God sent that punishment to them for worshiping the Queen of Heaven. And then when they stopped, you know, they stopped as a result of doing wrong, of being told they were doing wrong. God sent the punishment, but they were thinking, no, in a superstitious way, no, we didn't start having this trouble until we quit worshiping her. And let me tell you, he says, or they say here, we didn't do that just with our women. Our men were involved in it as well. So this subject of the Queen of Heaven is very curious, because we have in our possession a little book called My Father's Business. And that book is a prayer book for Catholic students, published in 1928. It's published by the Bruce Publishing Company of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. In this book, on page 256, there is, quote, "an act of consecration to the Virgin Immaculate." It's called "Act of Consecration to the Virgin Immaculate." And here's how the prayer begins. Quote, "Glorious Queen of Heaven and Earth, prostrate at the foot of thy throne, where respect and love have enchained our hearts, we offer thee our homage of devotion and praise." And then it continues. This is a prayer to Mary. And in this prayer, listen, she is called the Queen of Heaven. Now, Jeremiah wrote his prophecy that we're reading in Jeremiah chapter 44, 600 years before Mary was born. And yet, in his prophecy, he mentions the Queen of Heaven. Now, let me tell you something. It's an oddity, but it is a truth. Her worship, the worship of the Queen of Heaven, involved the identical elements that are used in the celebration of the Eucharist by the Catholic Church today. The worship of the Queen of Heaven involved sacrifices. Verse 18 of Jeremiah 44 says, "But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things, and had been consumed by the sword and by the famine. It involved sacrifices. And it involved fire and cakes and drink offerings. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her and poured out drink offerings unto her without our men? So this is an interesting thing that we're seeing here. We're seeing a parallel. 600 years before the birth of Mary, and many years before the establishment of the Catholic Church, we are seeing those things that are involved in the Mass being involved in the worship of the Queen of Heaven. You see, during the Eucharist, the priest says, quote, "Bless these gifts, these presents, these holy, unspotted sacrifices." The celebration often involves incense, which matches the fire and the incense that are involved in the worship of the Queen of Heaven in verse 19. The host matches the cakes that are offered to the Queen of Heaven. And wine and water match the drink offerings that are offered to the Queen of Heaven. And I'll say, is this not strange? Does it appear to be coincidental, or is there something historical in all of this? Well, in the Bible and in history, there is always a female goddess that men worship. She goes by a variety of names, but she's the same goddess nonetheless. In Jeremiah, she's called the Queen of Heaven. In the act of consecration to the Virgin Immaculate, she's called the Queen of Heaven. In Judges chapter 10, verse 6, she's called Ashtaroth. I'll turn there and read it for you. Judges chapter 10 and verse 6. Here's what the Bible says. "The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria and the gods of Zidon and the gods of Moab and the gods of the children of Ammon and the gods of the Philistines and forsook the Lord and served not him." Ashtaroth is the female deity. She is the female goddess. And she's worshipped in Judges chapter 10, verse 6, with Baal. In 1 Kings chapter 11, when we read about Solomon's idolatry, she's called Ashtoreth. Very similar in spelling to Ashtaroth. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 5. "For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites." So in Judges chapter 10, verse 6, she is called Ashtaroth, O-T-H. In 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 5, she's called Ashtoreth, E-T-H. But everything else is spelled the same. In Acts chapter 19, and verse 27, and in verse 35, she is called Diana. Acts chapter 19, verse 27. In Ephesus, there's an uproar. And in that uproar, the idolatrous false god makers have a meeting because they're upset after Paul's preaching. They're losing revenue. There was a man named Demetrius in Acts 19:24 who was a silversmith, and he made silver shrines for Diana. So he's upset because their livelihood is being affected by Paul's preaching. He says, in verse 25, "Sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth." In verse 26, he reminds them that not only at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. Now verse 27, "So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth." She's mentioned again in Acts chapter 19, verse 35. "Ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana, and from the image which fell down from Jupiter?" So she's called Diana, and she's worshipped with this image. Now, Jupiter was worshipped by the Romans in connection with their female goddess. They called her Venus. In Revelation chapter 17, and verse 5, this female goddess is connected with Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. Revelation 17 and verse 5. Verse 4 and 5, or 3, 4, and 5. There's a beast, and on that beast is a woman. The Bible says in Revelation 17, 3, "I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth." So, this Queen of Heaven that Jeremiah mentions in Jeremiah 44, well, this is something that's been going on, and you're going to see, from before his time, during his time, and even after his time. And it's just a matter of whether it's called Ashtaroth, or Ashtoreth, or Queen of Heaven, or Mary, or Diana, or Venus. You see, the Queen of Heaven is a female deity that's been worshipped for centuries, really for millennia. And she's often worshipped with her son. In Babylon, for instance, she was called Semiramis, and she was worshipped with her son. Her son's name is mentioned in the Bible. Tammuz, T-A-M-M-U-Z. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 8. Ezekiel chapter 8. In Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 14, look, verse 13 for the context. "He said also unto me, Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz." Tammuz was the name of, in Babylon, the son of the female deity Semiramis. Now, evidence of this mother and son worship can be found in most cultures and countries before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this idea of the Madonna, this idea of worshiping Mary and the infant child Jesus, that's not something that started with Christianity. It's not something that started with the Catholic Church. It's not something that started with the birth of Jesus Christ. This has been going on for centuries. In most cultures where the mother and son are worshipped, the son is a god, and in some cases, he was born to his mother without conception. Thus, listen, the Queen of Heaven is recognized as the mother of God. That's very important. Not just the mother of that son, in, you know, Tammuz, or in the case of the Madonna, Jesus, but the mother of God. Now, you see where this is all led? It's led to the worship of Mary, the mother of Jesus, who is commonly called the mother of God. Take, for instance, the angelic salutation. This salutation reads like this, and I'm quoting, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus." Watch it. "Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen." That prayer is prayed. It's called the angelic salutation. Some people refer to it as the Hail Mary. But if you pray a rosary, or if you've ever prayed a rosary, you're going to say that 10 times every time. But you know where you do the Our Father, if you've ever seen the construction of the rosary, you see the bead and then the 10 together and the bead and the 10 together. Okay, those 10 are this angelic salutation. They're also prayed on the 3 between the cross and the loop. All right. And in that prayer, it's said so fast, people don't even think about what they're saying. I've said the rosary. I've watched them say the rosary. I've been to rosaries the night before a funeral, as an example. And that's said so quickly, people don't even think about what they're saying. They say, "Hail Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen." Mary, listen, is the mother of the body of Jesus, and therefore she is the mother of his humanity. But she is not the mother of his divinity. She is not the mother of God. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, and he pre-existed her existence. Just, you know, one example. Jesus Christ is talking to the Pharisees in John chapter 8, and they're having quite a time with what he's saying. And he says to them in John chapter 8, verse 56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." In verse 57, "Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" And in verse 58, Jesus replied, here's what he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." And that identifies him squarely with God in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, and his appearance to Moses in the burning bush, where he identifies himself as I am. Before Abraham was, I am. So she is no more the mother of God than the Queen of Heaven was. She's the mother of Jesus. She is the one who is, if you will, responsible for his humanity, but his divinity came from his Father, God the Father. So Mary was given the title the Mother of God because she's been elevated by the Roman Catholic Church to the Queen of Heaven, continuing this unbroken line of female goddess worship throughout history. I want to make sure that I say that again because I think it's very important for you to understand that point right there. Mary was given the title the Mother of God in this angelic salutation that, you know, where you pray the prayer, Hail Mary, okay? That Mother of God title was given to her by the Catholic Church, not by the Bible, not by God. And the reason was to elevate her to the Queen of Heaven, as you saw and heard in the act of consecration to the Virgin Immaculate. And that then continues this unbroken line of female goddess worship that has continued all through history. Now listen, devotion to Mary had no place in early Christianity. I mean, even according to the Catholic Encyclopedia, devotion to Mary came from the ancient worship of the goddess Queen of Heaven, and it was inserted into Christianity at the Council of Ephesus in 431 AD. You cannot read in that Bible anywhere where Mary was worshipped. Jesus, when she was, you know, telling him that to take care of the problem in Cana because of the wedding and the wine that was not there, Jesus said to her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" You see how he spoke to her? "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." Listen, the devotion to Mary was inserted into Christianity at the Council of Ephesus. Ephesus, remember? Ephesus is where Diana was worshipped. There's the connection. So you say, well, where is all this leading? Well, it's led to something really bad. Because in many cases, depending on the priest and the catechism that's being taught and the that local church, Mary is considered by many to be a co-redemptrix with Jesus Christ. In other words, that's the doctrine of the Catholic Church, whether it's espoused by that local assembly of Roman Catholics in that parish or by that priest. You know, some don't realize this, but they elevate her to co-redemptrix and co-mediatrix with Jesus Christ. She's not. That's an attempt to elevate her and worship her in this unbroken line of worship of female deities and female goddesses. Now, here's what's going to happen. The attempt will be made through the ecumenical movement to get the world's religions together under the common umbrella of the worship of a female goddess. It's always been that way. And there's no question that this female goddess will be the Virgin Mary. I mean, she wasn't even a virgin perpetually, but that's how she's referred to. She's not really the Virgin Mary. She is Mary, who also had six other children, at least. Four boys that are named in the Bible in Mark chapter 6, and at least two girls. Then Jesus Christ is the first among seven. She was not a perpetual virgin, and therefore should never be worshipped as a female goddess. But she's going to be. As a matter of fact, Mary is mentioned in the Quran. And I've got it for you right here. I'm going to read it. If you're familiar at all with the Quran, it's divided up into what are called surahs, S-U-R-A. And in Surah 3, the Quran then identifies these like verses. You know, it's broken down into sections, and the sections are numbered. And in Surah 3, 42, listen, "Behold, the angel said, O Mary, Allah has chosen you and purified you, chosen you above the women of all nations." You see the elevation? And then we go on. Verse 43, "O Mary, worship your Lord devoutly, prostrate yourself and bow down in prayer with those who bow down. This is part of the tidings of the things unseen, which we reveal unto you, O apostle, by inspiration. You were not with them when they cast lots with arrows as to which of them should be charged with the care of Mary, nor were you with them when they disputed the point." Now, verse 45. "Behold, the angel said, O Mary, Allah gives you glad tidings of a word from him. His name will be called Christ Jesus, the Son of Mary, held in honor in this world and the hereafter, and of the company of those nearest to Allah. 46, he shall speak to the people in infancy and in maturity, and he shall be of the company of the righteous. 47, Surah 3, 47. She said, O my Lord, how shall I have a son when no man has touched me? He said, Even so, Allah create what he wills. When he has decreed a matter, he but says it to be, and it is." There you go. So, that's Mary in the Quran, in Surah 3, 42, 45, and 47. So I believe that there are going to be efforts made by the leaders of Islam and Roman Catholicism to get on common ground in the recognition of Mary. All of this explains why most preachers connect Mystery Babylon in Revelation 17 with the Roman Catholic Church. That's not absolutely sure, but you see this connection through the female goddess, don't you? And therefore, that's why you've heard people connect the false prophet with the Pope. In any case, you know there will be a female goddess, and you know the one religion today that has that continuation of the female goddess is the Roman Catholic Church. So in order to prepare the world for the Antichrist, a female goddess has to be accepted worldwide as the Queen of Heaven. And right now, as far as I can tell, the only candidate for the job is Mary. So, when you read your Bible and you see the woman on the scarlet beast in Revelation 17, and you see in Jeremiah chapter 44 the worship of the Queen of Heaven, you have to realize God has already left for you in the Scripture things that are necessary for you to understand what is getting ready to happen, because history repeats itself. The female goddess was worshipped all the way back in Judges. You see it. And you see it in the reign of Solomon. And you see it during the time of the prophets, particularly Jeremiah. And you see it in Ephesus. And you'll see it again in the book of Revelation. That piece doesn't go away. And so I caution you, do not worship Mary as the Queen of Heaven. Do not worship Mary. I caution you, do not call her the Mother of God, which she is not. She's blessed, undoubtedly, as the Mother of Jesus. And that, my friend, is enough. I pray God will bless you with His truth, and He'll help you to learn. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.